Shoot. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, guest master, Timmy Two-Time in the house. What's up, everybody?
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
I'm the guest master, man. I got all the gas. I got all the gas in Arizona, man. While the coastal pipeline was out, I had plenty of gas. So, Mr. Salty Show, how you doing over there in Pennsylvania?
We are doing pretty good out here in Pittsburgh. We're in the middle of pandemics, pipelines, and apparently Free Palestine. Oh, man, a lot of shit going on this week. But you know what? Get vaxxed, America. if you want to be outside, according to Biden. And we can now all go back to normal, apparently. I don't know what's going on. Biden's acting like a tyrant, guys. Also, I do want to talk about, and we're going to take a lot of time on this. The Middle East is in turmoil again as Hamas terrorists have initiated a new barrage of missiles against Israel. Israel retaliated quickly and the world lost their shit. But Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez is mad at Biden because Biden agreed that Israel has a right to defend itself. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the election audits on more states, all that and more on this episode of The Salty Show.
The Salty Show.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of The Salty Show, and we're going to get right into this because a lot of shit has happened this week. I do want to start off with the Israeli stuff, what's going on out there. Biden, Mr. Hairy Legs, Mr. Corn Pock, Mr. Turn on Energy Depression. Mr. You know the thing.
Oh, you know the thing.
Okay. What does he do?
Oh, women and children of Korea. You know the thing.
What does he do?
It's a stuttering problem.
Listen to this,
guys. No, it's not a stuttering problem.
He cuts off sanctions against Iran right away. You guys remember this? What happened is those first executive orders that he signed. He also renewed giving U.S. aid to the Palestinian Authority. And I mean, outside of him and his circle of leftists, who would have seen this coming, guys? I mean, seriously, like Iran starts funding Hamas and, you know, they start providing weapons to them again. And now the past week, we've been seeing terrorism again renewed in Israel. I mean, when was the last time we heard about this?
It's Trump's fault at this level.
So which brings me to the point, Tim. You know, how many peace treaties did we sign just last year?
Apparently, it wasn't enough. Everybody says those treaties weren't anything because they signed peace treaties with countries that weren't in turmoil. No, they weren't recognized in Israel for shit. The Saudi Arabians weren't allowing Israeli planes to fly over the airspace because they had the Star of fucking David on it. Like, this is how crazy this shit is. Now they're allowing that. Fucking Arab Emirate, UAE. They say support Israel and all this. They actually were condemning this shit more than our own fucking government was. Okay, let that sink in, guys.
That is terrible, dude. So Trump was bringing peace, right? He's bringing peace, and as soon as liberals take control, complete and utter fucking chaos. Biden's weakness, and it is weakness. You know, this is not. He's not a leader, dude. His weakness emboldens terrorists. You know, and his policies are destabilizing the world. And we've said this over and over in the show. A weak America creates a dangerous world. And America is being weakened by the left. We are seeing this clear as day. This new wave of attacks is being blamed on you know, because I'm following up on this. I'm reading all, you know, what everybody's posting on social media, on TikTok. And you know, you see the news coverage on this. And what are they blaming this on? They're blaming the attacks on Israeli settlers, okay, who are apparently trying to claim back land that was stolen from them when, if you remember, in 1967, I believe, when Jordan invaded, this was what was called the Six-Day War, right? It only lasted for no more than a week. And Jordan took over some lands. Israel, what they did is they pushed back and they won. And they claimed those lands back. And slowly, you know, the Jewish people have been, you know, settling in those areas. Well, the Muslim world, the Palestinian world does not like this. And the world is labeling this as a land dispute. But it's really not. It's more than that. This is Israel's attempt to survive, folks, because this was a war that was perpetrated against Israel. And it's been multiple times. And when I was researching this, I was looking at it. I'm like, oh, my God. In 1937, 47, 67, in 2000, in 2008, those are the instances in time when Israel has tried to negotiate peace. This last time around, Israel even moved out of Gaza. They forced Jewish people to leave Gaza. They completely left in order to make peace. They did this. Israel removed its own citizens from Gaza and left it to the Palestinians. And what happened? Right? Do you think that Hamas was like, okay, this is they're trying to negotiate peace and let's... No. They saw that as a victory. And what they did was they were emboldened. They were invigorated by this to fight harder. And that's what they've been doing. And they, you know, they continue to use terrorist tactics, right? They clearly revealed that they didn't want peace. It isn't about land. When you hear it in the news, they will tell you, oh, it's a land issue. It's not. It's hatred towards a people, towards the Jewish people, folks. It's clear as day. You know, today it's Gaza that, they want it and they got it. Tomorrow it's Jerusalem. And the next day it's Haifa and then Tel Aviv. And then you know what? Freaking bring on the concentration. This is what it is. And to tell ourselves that it's something else is a lie. Because if you look at the size, and I'm sorry, I'm talking about this at length, but we need to, because I was so angry. I get angry about this because it's the piece of land that we're talking about is the size no bigger than New Jersey, right? We've said this. And the world is watching this as if, you know, it's like complete and utter Jewish people are killing Muslims. That's how you hear the stories. And, you know, we've said this over and over again. The Jews are the canary in the coal mine of history's tyrants. Remember that as we discuss this topic. Because after World War II, the world witnessed the atrocity of the Germans. Again, as I'm researching this, I'm looking at footage that I hadn't even seen. I hadn't even seen this when I was taught this in school, guys. The videos that just angered me. The concentration camps revealed how dark and cruel godless people can be. Right. Let's go. Because I went and watched these videos to study up on this so that I wouldn't speak from a point of ignorance. Dude, the bodies in Auschwitz and these concentration camps, they had to bring in bulldozers because piles of bodies were stacked so high and the stench and, you know, was unbearable. And that's what they talked about. And we told ourselves, never again. The world said, never again. What should we do, right? The world came together and said, what should we do about these people that, you know, are living scattered throughout the planet? And the world said, well, the UN got together and they said, well, you know what? Well, here is thousands of years of history in this area. And the world agreed, let's give it to Israel. And that's what they did. At that time, they didn't get Jerusalem. Right. They got just a little sliver of land, dude. And they did this as a way to rectify the sins that they witnessed. Right. And through divine intervention, the world agreed that the Jews should be allowed to return to their homeland. Right. And this was written in their manuscripts thousands of years. Yet here we are, not even 100 days into this freaking... I didn't want to call his administration, his president, this delusion that this guy is. And the media is painting the Jewish people as if, you know, they're an apartheid state. And I'm listening to this. I'm like, they're surrounded by Muslims, guys. Muslims country. I was looking at the numbers. I think it's like 6 million Jews surrounded by 1.8 billion Arabs, Muslims. And you want to talk about, and I'm not lying to you. Read this. We're going to discuss this, but let me finish my point here. to me, this proves the institutions, the news organizations are decrepit, and they've lost their moral compass. And I think it proves that when humans are left to their vices, they're capable of staggering depravedness. That I don't know how else to put it, because I look at these videos and I see terrorism and I see news organizations coming to these organizations' defense. I mean, sorry, these terrorists' defense. And if it wasn't for the Israeli Iron Dome technology intercepting rockets, they would be destroyed. They would be completely destroyed. They're raining down missiles. And I know you want to get in here, Tim, before I show this video, but I don't know how else to put this, man. It's clear as day how evil this is. And then and you know what, to me, this tells me this should prove how we should not trust anything that the media tells us about the election, about COVID, but because they lie about this topic.
And what's interesting about that is one of the things that got everybody really buzzing was over the weekend, where Israel, they took down a building. This thing went down like Building 7 of the in Manhattan on 9/11. Okay, so they found out that this building, it housed Al Jazeera. It housed the Associated Press, the AP. Okay. So they were housed in there. They had offices, but on the bottom level, it really was an Hamas terrorist cell, right? So on the bottom levels of the floor, it was run by Hamas, but they put these tenants in there so that it looked like it was a normal business, right?
Okay.
For years, people even on the left have said, yeah, they know that this is Hamas. And they even said Hamas would go up there and bully these people, but they just dealt with it. So Israel, what they did was, first, Israel always fires a warning shot. They give them an hour, basically, of saying, hey, they launched something that basically kind of hits the building, but that's your warning shot. Like, hey, this is your warning. Civilians get out and get away because this is our next target. And next thing you know, man, you just see this rocket come in. Wham! You see the building go down and then another one come in at the bottom and you just, bah, 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 bah. And now all of a sudden, the Associated Press and Al Jazeera, I can't believe they're targeting journalists and this, that, and the third. And then all of a sudden it comes out, they know that that Hamas was in the building. They were in cahoots with them. They got called out on it. Even one of Obama's guys, chief something, this guy. He's like, they knew what was going on. They're like, oh, how do you know? He's like, I just talked to them. They know. They knew what that building was. All the journalists and everything.
So that's
causing a whole nother problem with people trusting journalists because they're going, wait a minute. Associated Press.
You shouldn't trust journalists you can piss
but
on.
But with
them.
The AP, they're now in cahoots with terrorism. So now how are you reporting in America, getting American funding and all this for being,
pull that shit left and right.
That's...
So I have going back to your description, the warning shot, right? So a missile, was it a missile that struck
the
building?
They call it roof knocking. It's like a missile, but it's not as powerful and it's not intended to take the building down. It's just a loud bang. And like Tim says, it's supposed to give him an hour or so to get out of the building. Now, interesting.
So why didn't they get out of the building?
They did.
Idiots. They did. So they did. So the AP and Al Jazeera did.
Okay, they all got out of the building.
What they did was, this is what's even more interesting, is that they went basically like to a couple buildings over, went on the roof, and they were filming this happening. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like they had plenty of time to get out and film what was happening.
Right.
Okay.
And that's what they do every single time. Yeah. Israel warns, right? They call people on the cell phone. Yeah.
So I'm trying to understand something here. Israeli decides that they're going to blow up this building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they shoot off one of these duds, whatever you want to call it, to give them an hour ahead notice saying, this is our next target. Go find someplace safe to be. Everybody in the building leaves, and then they blow up the building. What's the point of blowing up the building? But there's no terrorists in there, so you're not stopping anything.
But they're watching what's going on in there.
No, okay. but see, they're targeting because they have equipment in there. They have mm-hmm. infrastructure that they target, intelligence. They so an hour is not long enough. You know, they can get a few things out and whatever, you know, they can get out. See, no other country would do this. The United States didn't do this when we went into Afghanistan, when we went to Iraq and just bombed the shit out of them. We didn't warn anybody. Right. No. And so again, Israel takes so many precautions to not kill civilians.
Wait, hold on. The way Hamas
when
does.
When the U.S. is going to bomb your ass, the early warning system is, why did our radar system just go down?
Yeah, right. So, but you got to remember. Exactly. So because it's not country versus country, this is Israel defending against terrorism, right?
Hamas.
Right, so yeah. What Hamas does is they blend in with people, so, right, civilians. So they can't just shoot up a like building that, right? Because there's because then that's a war crime. You know what I mean? They like it could be looked at differently. If you just shoot a rocket into a building, it goes down and you had innocent children in there. Like, wait a minute. Like, well, you got to give them.
Yeah, Hamas is shooting rockets at them, but that's not a war
crime. But they're a terrorist group.
So the Israelis need to stop doing this, and they need to have
they're doing
extreme coalition within so Israel.
What you don't see in the media as well, real quick, is as Israel's rocketing these areas and destroying and going after Hamas, they're sending in troops, aid
and help
to the Palestinians on the floor, like on the ground, like to help them get out or give them food, water and whatnot, because they know that they're losing a lot of this stuff. They're losing their livelihoods. And if a whole apartment complex goes down because Hamas is hiding rockets in there, where are you going to live? You're homeless now and angry. So they go in and try to make sure and get. Look, Israel's not savages. And this is what people say. And this is beautiful. And I don't know if this is a video you have, but at one of the rallies, the pro-Israel rallies, he's like, we're not saying free Israel from Palestine. We're saying free Palestine from Hamas.
Right.
Hamas is the problem, not Palestine. We don't have issues with Palestinians. We like Palestine. We want peace, but you got to get rid of Hamas. Hamas is causing the problem. Okay. That's the only way Palestine and Israel can ever be free from any kind of conflict is if you have to get rid of Hamas. If you don't get rid of Hamas,
Why doesn't Palestine step up?
It's like, why don't
get rid of Hamas?
Same reason. How come in gang neighborhoods, why don't they just call the cops on all the gangbangers? You don't say shit because they will kill you. It's no different. This is Antifa.
It's terrorist. I think it's a combination of both. And what I mean by this is, see, there is also what's called the West Bank in Israel, mm-hmm. and I've been to Israel, so I've seen some of this because there's again areas, pockets of Palestinian controlled areas that is landlocked, basically in the middle of Jerusalem. Right, Palestinians control parts of it. Bethlehem is one of those. Hebron. What else is there? Jericho. Anyway, so what happens is in these places, these people create. They're very similar to what a BLM and Antifa do out here, where they bomb, you know, or they create riots and they create havoc. And now Israel, the IDF, has to deal with this. So, while I agree with you, Tim, that Hamas is the terrorist organization sending missiles, there is still disruption that's being caused by Muslim Arabs who are not happy, and they're calling Israel's being in that land, they're calling it an occupation. So it's not just Hamas. And to your point, Jeremy, you know, there is a combination of a lot of people who don't like Israel. But going back to the point of this, these news organizations that are, you know, it looks like they're in cahoots. I'm not going to say that as a definitive, but it looks like they are. And it's fucking weird. You know, I mean, you're telling me you didn't know Hamas was in your fucking building? Really? They control that fucking building. Shut the fuck up. They're liars. They only cover for them. And this is why I don't trust them. What's his name? Stelter from CNN. He has an IDF spokesperson to talk about that Gaza Tower airstrike that Tim said the tower came down. And one of the questions that Brian Stelter poses to him, and he says this, and he's completely serious. He says, why didn't you tell the AP that Hamas was in the building? Why didn't you, you know, why did you just wait and only gave them an hour to leave? And you know, the military guy, he's like, look, Israel has reason to target these terrorist organizations, these terrorist cells. We are going to try to do anything to disrupt them, and we're going to try anything to protect our people. At the same time, we want to avoid the loss of civilian life. That's why we give them an hour. But we want to destroy their infrastructure. If we were to tell the news, they would go and tell Hamas. Hamas would take all their equipment. They would take everything out, and boom, there's no purpose. So there's a military. And to me, that's a smart answer because it's the truth. You want to be able to hurt the enemy, these terrorists, organizations, you know, disrupt them. But at the same time, you want to avoid the loss of innocent life. Stelter was like, oh, he kept pressing him. He's like, well, but this is a news organization. Why would you target a news organization? And he's like, we didn't target a news organization. And this is how they frame it, dude. This is fucking CNN framing it. It's like, bro, what the hell?
Well, and to that point, Israel did some really interesting tactics where they kind of said that they were going to go bomb this building and the media reported on it, but they wound up bombing the tunnels instead. Right. So they tricked the media and the media, you know, it leaked out some bullshit. And like the New York Times was upset about it. They're like, I can't believe Israel lied to us. So everyone's like, oh, look at that. And within 24 hours, New York Times
lied to New York Times.
Well, New York Times became a propagandist for Hamas. They were like, wait a minute. Why are you upset about this? Like, dude, that was a major thing that went quiet this weekend was that Israel wound up, or they went out, you know, they broadcasted that they were doing this, and they turned around and did that, and it upset the news organizations because they
how so when you say they brought Israel broadcasts
or they said something to the fact of, you know,
we're going to blow up building A, and then we shot it.
It's like, hey,
tunnel.
We're going to this area. So everybody was focused on that, and what they did was they hit the terrorist tunnels instead. Oh yeah. So everybody, you know, they basically, you know, everybody fake left, go right, you know. So everybody went left. So all the attention was diverted that way, and they freaking they killed a lot of commanders.
The quote unquote journalists in the area are going to portray your acts as being.
There you go. You know, that's basically terrorism. What Israel was saying.
Then basically you tell them, oh, yeah, okay, we're going to go blow us up. They set up all their cameras to watch that blow up, and then you do something else so they don't have any footage to be dicks with.
There you go.
Let me say this, because Israel shows so much restraint here. It always has. You know, I'm seeing, dude, God damn it. You got to get on TikTok, man. Some of these military girls in Israel, God damn.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Jesus Christ. Anyway, so, but
well,
I'm seeing.
They canceled Gal Gadot, though.
Uncanceled?
They canceled Gal Gadot.
Oh, they canceled her?
No, they canceled her. Yeah, because she's Israeli and she served in the Israeli military. Right. And she's sent out, when it all started, she's like, prayers out to everybody there, blah, blah, blah. Like, I can't believe you served in that and you're blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, they were all upset about
who canceled her?
You know, the
Hollywood,
Wokies.
Probably.
Yeah,
anyways,
them.
So what I wanted to say was...
she can always
was,
come stay at my house.
You know, to me, there was... exactly. There was never a nation of Palestine. I mean, again, when I'm researching this, there has never been a nation of Palestine. Never. And so the claim to the land... that they want to say Israel has thousands of years of recorded Jewish history there. You know, again, a country the size of New Jersey.
So can we talk about that history for a little bit?
Go ahead. Yeah.
What was it strictly Jewish or was it a mixture of multiple ethnicities and, you know, religions? And
so that piece of earth is probably the most piece of land that had the most wars in history. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, when the Romans conquered it, when the, you know, I mean, like every single, when the Muslims started taking, you know, what was it? They called it the Crusades, right? That part of the world was that's where a lot of, I mean, you had people, Christians fighting for that land. You had Muslims fighting for that land. You had, you know, Jewish people fighting for the land. The Romans, every empire in that region at one point in time was over that land. So, you know,
well,
there
is
a lot of history, right?
That's one of the most strategic pieces of land. If you look at it, the way it connects everything, like that connects like a lot. Or it connects Europe, the Middle East, you know, Northern, you know, if you look at it, it's very, it, It's a big, it was a big trade area as well. Like, cause you know, that's why everybody went into the middle, you know, went that way. All the Europeans, you know, during the, you know, the early 80s and all that, during the British, you know, the European expansion, they all went to the Middle East for, you know, spices and everything. And that's how that whole trade, the silk trade and all that started. Right. But then the religious aspect got into it. And then the Christians against the Jews, against the Muslims. So then, you know, it started growing and growing and growing.
But even atheist empires have conquered that land. This has not just been religious wars.
It's a major
hub.
It's a major area.
Well, okay.
A lot of wealth.
What was your question, though, Jeremy? You had a point.
So the question was, of this thousands of years of history, documented history that you're talking about, was it strictly a Jewish state? Or were there multiple religions, multiple ethnicities, multiple... It sounds like it's kind of always been a mixture of everything.
Well, that's like the that's where religion was born, basically, right? When you look at it.
Well, I look, mean, when I say, I'm comparing it to the claim to the land, you know, because the Palestinians are trying to claim the land. But if we want to go back to who were the original owners of that or the original settlers to that land, it was, you know, so the Jewish.
That's what I'm asking. Was it? Settled by strictly Jewish people, or was it a mixture of everybody who's in that area?
It was a mixture, right? But you know, again, the biblical history that I'm talking about is the biblical account of those who lived in that land. You know, the Jewish people who immigrated to that land. You know, when they fled. You know, Egypt and God called them to the promised land. I mean, this is this goes far beyond during the Palestinians. Again, there was never a nation of Palestine in there. There's been a nation of Israel there before. They got scattered throughout the earth after
was
they
it,
were
was
conquered.
Was it identified as a nation of Islam?
No.
The world identified and acknowledged it as that?
Not as a nation of Islam, no.
That has never been the case. But
no.
After World War II, the United Nations or whatever, the world got together and decided that that would be a good place for them.
But, for the Jews.
I mean, for the Jews. Right, for the Jews.
Not Islam, because you said Islam.
Did I?
Yeah.
No, not. Okay, right. Okay, yeah, so, not Islam, the Jewish.
Yeah, so there has been a state of Israel there controlled by the Jews. And there was a country of Israel. Obviously, the borders
an acknowledged
were,
a world at the time acknowledged country of Israel. Well, was it called Israel then as well?
It's been called Judea, I think. Israel. It has been called Israel, and it was there were Jews.
It's
there.
Been called by multiple names, but it is still basically a Jewish
country.
Entity.
Right. Exactly.
Country. Okay.
So, and look, I was out there. They even today, to this day, they uncover, you know, in I think it's Qumran, there is places where they find, what are those called? Dead Sea Scrolls, right? Near the Dead Sea, where they have found documents that date back thousands of years, dude. Thousands of years. And when you compare it to the version of the Old Testament that is out there today, they're identical. And you're like, well, this has been recorded history there for that long time. And now, you know, if that's what we want to talk about, because people want to say this is a issue about land, people just want to go back 100 years. Well, let's go back 2,000 years. Who has original claim to that land? And that's what people ignore. It is that recorded history.
Okay, so the recorded history, like you said, it goes back thousands of years. So what happened 200 years ago,
they were conquered.
Years ago 400 years ago?
Again, every empire,
like
major
you said, empires, yes. Right?
Yeah.
And so who claimed to own that, who have conquered that land before World War II when they decided to give it?
I think the British controlled it. And I think they're the ones who called it, were the ones who labeled it as Palestine the most recently, the area of Palestine. But it wasn't until 1967, after that Six-Day War, that people then started saying, oh, well, this is you know, the country of Palestine. But it was never, there was never a nation of Palestine there. It was never called that. So that is a relatively new term. There have been, you know, and it's a derivative of a biblical term, which was Philistines at that time. So the word has morphed into Palestines. But again, there has never been a nation of Palestine there. There's been people who call themselves Palestinians who live there.
Okay.
But when the world got together and said, hey, where are we going to put these people who just suffered? 6 million of them were just killed. Right. The world wanted to rectify the sin. What did they do? The world agreed. Let's give them, you know, let's look at the records. Oh, well, look, this belonged to them. Let's give that to them. Yep.
All right. So back to your point, you're saying that you thought that the British owned it before that. So it was the British had conquered, whether it was based on the Crusades when they or was it more recent?
Google that.
I don't think they ever took Israel.
No, they didn't. It was more of a territory. What is that called when, like, you know how Britain had control over a lot of places?
Colonies?
Yeah, colonies.
Let me go.
Yeah.
Who? What?
Well, I thought they lost that war because they kept sending people over there, but that was the one thing they could never win.
The Brits kept sending
people? Yeah.
Well, yeah, it seems to me like this world, we define countries. And
that's been a very hot area.
Right, I understand that. But we define, if you come into a piece of land that is owned by somebody else and you conquer them, the world acknowledges that land is now yours.
Well, back in the day, now the conquering, we don't really acknowledge anymore. We try to stop the conquering.
Right. At this point, we hope that we're done. Well, we don't have any more land to conquer.
Oh, no. China. I mean, China's trying to take back over Taiwan and they took over Hong Kong and all that. They, you know, the way they.
Right. So instead of using force to conquer them now, they use politics and economics to conquer.
Yeah. I'm going to read this. So the Ottoman Empire owned it up until 1917 when the British invaded. So right before. But again, it wasn't a part of Britain. You know, they just were controlling it, basically. And then, you know, I mean, like, this is what Britain did all over the world. They, you know, they were, you know, territories that they had. I forget what the term is. Anyway, so this has always been a land, again, that has been fought for. But the point that I'm trying to make when people say, well, Palestinians have a claim to this. Well, not really. Again, the history is very muddied here. And if we want to go back to rectify to who originally belonged to, what do we do in any debate on who owns property? You go back to documents, whether it was a paper that was written by somebody. I mean, how do they handle things here in the United States when you're fighting about property? And so that's what the world did. They said, okay, well, let's look. Oh, look, here is documents that date back thousands of years. And they went, and Palestinians. Nobody asked the Palestinians, where is your claim to this land that predates the Jewish people? Oh, it's not there. And to me, if it's a land battle, then fine. But see, even if we grant them that, and Israel has tried to negotiate peace with them, they've given them land. They offered, I don't know if you remember during Clinton, the Oslo Accords. You guys remember that? I don't know if you guys remember that. But, they had agreed to, you know, again, have two different nations, you know, within that small territory where the Palestinians could control their areas. But Arafat at that time, Yasser Arafat, they didn't want peace. As soon as they signed that Oslo Accord, they went back to bombing. So they never wanted to have peace. They've always wanted to control remove the Jewish people from that land, because that's what it is. It's hatred towards a people. It is not about land. It is not about a Palestinian. The Muslim nations surrounding Israel use the Palestinians. Hamas uses the Palestinians for terrorism, but they want to abolish the Jewish state of Israel, again, a country the size of New Jersey, with 6 million Jews surrounded by 1.9 billion Muslims. Come on, let's put this shit into perspective. So, you know, and to Tim's point that he said he was, or was it you, Jeremy, you know, we're talking about who puts up with this? Who puts up with fucking missiles raining down on your country? If Canada was doing that to the United States, raining down fucking, you know, rockets, America would fucking pulverize every single fucking city. We would. We wouldn't tolerate Drop that them. Shit. You know what? We wouldn't. We wouldn't tolerate. Dude, we wouldn't tolerate for half a century. That's what the Jewish people have been dealing with for fucking 50, 60 years. They've been dealing with that shit. I guarantee you, we did it with Japan and in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We did. And they had bombed Pearl Harbor, which was a military base. They weren't bombing neighborhoods like you know, the Palestinians are trying, or I'm sorry, the Hamas is trying to do. So we wouldn't put up with this, you know? And I don't know how clear to make it. Now, I do want to show you guys something here because, yeah,
go ahead, Tim. Believe that this is another thing that is apparently dividing this country. So we got other shit to worry about. You know what I mean? Like, this is an important world hit, but let them fucking deal with it. You know, like,
yeah.
Let them fight it out. Whoever wins, wins. Fuck it at this point. Like, I got to worry about this country. This country has got bigger fucking problems than fucking Hamas and Israel fucking fighting each other for the last 100 years. I'm sorry. You know what? That's their problem. Let them deal with it. When we're doing internal, you don't got Netanyahu and all that coming and talking about how Biden or Trump should have handled, you know, all the protests last year and George Floyd and all that. No, that's your country's business. You deal with it. We got enough shit going on in this country. Enough shit going on in this country that needs to be looked at. You got bridges fucking falling apart. They had to close down a bridge in Tennessee because of a crack in the steel, which I've never seen that before. That was pretty impressive. Yeah, you know, yeah. You got inflation through the roof, gas lines, pipelines just miraculously, you know, getting ransomware. You know what I mean? Yeah, and they paid it.
Yeah, I heard they paid it.
But you got all this shit going on. You got people that don't have jobs. You have to pay people now to go back to work. So all these states are now offering people $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 to go back to work.
Yeah, we'll get
what
to that,
the
Tim.
Fuck? We're going to get into that.
Yeah, right. So look, there's things that happen and we will get to that. We will. But we got to talk about what's going on in the world, man. And I get it.
They're fucked up.
But
They're always going to be fucked up.
It seems like they were an awful lot less fucked up with Trump was holding the big stick.
But that's why I say this. They're blaming Trump for this right now because of the way he handled Palestine, where he stopped giving them money. You know, like he cut a lot of funding off from them. And they're like, oh, he cut the funding off. And the terrorism stopped. The minute they got their funding back, to his point earlier, oh, all this shit started again. Yeah. Okay.
Let me get this straight. If you can't afford to buy $100,000 missiles to shoot at your enemy, you don't shoot at your enemy.
Just that money, Jeremy. It was, see, Iran funds these people as well. Iran gives them weapons. And what did Trump do? Trump put sanctions on these fools.
Squeezed the shit out of them.
Yeah. And
they were like squealing like a pig.
Not only financially, but basically squeezing them out of any, because Iran intimidates a big portion of the world out there, that part of the world. They intimidate them. And the United States was squeezing them during Trump. Here comes Biden. Biden removes the sanctions. And now Iran is back in, back in play. And you know, it's to say that. Because the news media comes out where, you know, the left comes out making fun of the liberals, basically. Because I was watching all these TikTok videos. They're making fun of Trump and Jared Kushner, you know, because they said they had negotiated peace. You know, but this latest development, you know, oh, look, they didn't do peace, you know. And to me, this should be proof. And to any conservative out there who's like, I don't know. They let them figure it out. Well, look, to me, this is should prove on what side we should stand. I'm going to show you just this video on this whole thing. This should solidify to any conservative what side you should be on the Middle East struggle. Let me play this one. And of course, fucking TikTok, dude, motherfuckers. Well, let me just show you this other one because Tim sends me this one.
And this they took it down.
Yeah, fucking TikTok takes every fucking video down by any conservative. But I'm gonna show them this one that you sent me. Okay, so Teen Vogue posts this thing on Twitter. And for the listener, let me read some of this because I'm not kidding to you. The history of police violence. This is the article. The history of police violence enacted on unarmed black and brown citizens by American law enforcement mirrors the history of Israel treating Palestinians as violent insurgents. This is a Teen Vogue, a leftist, or, you know, I mean, like a woke fucking, are they even a news organization? I don't know what the fuck they are. Anyways, my best part about this is that the comments just freaking destroy them, you know, because people are like, oh, wow. The best time to delete this post was immediately after posting it. The second best time is now. So basically they're equating this whole struggle to BLM and they're calling Israel racist. Again, a nation, the only Jewish state in that part of the world, surrounded by Muslims and Arabs. And
I hear you.
All right. And then I'm just going to show you this one more. And again, Tim sends me this. And this one is the one that actually pissed me off. This one should help you determine, I wonder what side I should root for in this struggle. Watch this shit. This is in Dearborn, Michigan, folks. We're importing our own demise. This is Rashida Tlaib's district. Okay? I want you to watch this, Jeremy. This is not in the Middle East. This is in America.
See all the white kids? This is what college gets you. You know what's funny?
Every citizen.
You know what's even more concerning? If those same people marching can burn an American flag, no problems. If somebody would have grabbed one of those Palestinian flags and burnt it, you know the ramifications for that would have been?
Oh, you
that
died.
Person would have been mauled. He would have been labeled a racist, a bigot, and this, that, and the third. But those same people can burn the American flag. Let that one sink in. You can't burn if a conservative went there and set it on fire and said, this is a fucking America, get that shit out of here. You know what I mean? They would be labeled everything on the wall. Terrorist, this, that, bigot, blah, 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 Islamophobe, all that. But if they burn an American flag, because Americans are kind of, they're settlers and they're apartheid. Oh, shut the fuck up. Like, that's the shit that gets me. You were able to get out of that shit, right? With bombs going off and all that hatred. You come here, we're given an opportunity for a better life, and you take that flag and march it down the street in a country that gave you so much better life, the pursuit of a better life. It's guaranteed in our Constitution that you can, the pursuit of happiness, okay, is guaranteed it by words in the Constitution. It's guaranteed that you have the pursuit of happiness. And you sit there and you basically spit on the country that allowed you to come here. I don't give a shit what your religion is. I don't give a fuck what you believe in. I'm starting to believe religion is actually really good for people and they need it because fucking people's morals are out the fucking window these days. You know what I mean? But when you sit there and you care more about that country's flag than your own country's flag, I got a problem with that.
And that's like not America first. Like you, Tim, said, Tim, you know, when you look at that video, you see a lot of little white kids going in there. And I messaged you right back and I said, 90% of those people there aren't even Palestinians. One thing that unites them is, you know, that their hate for Israel. And the left hates it, Israel. We know this. Look at every leftist movement.
Why is there hatred for Israel?
Because it is religious people who stand against this communism. It has always been, you know, religious people who say, you know what? No, the government is not God, and the government is not in control of my life. There's only one person who's in control of my life. It is God. You know, there was a famous saying that says, when you stop believing in God, you don't just believe in nothing. You believe in anything. And that's the left today. Look at how many fucking leftist movements there are, you know. And to me, when I look at the article that I showed you from fucking Teen Vogue, you know, the degenerate left supports Palestine. You know what I mean? And that's Vogue.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, they don't even like you. None of these gender confused people would be allowed 1 second of freedom in Palestine. They wouldn't. This is the goddamn truth. The leftist groups that support Palestine wouldn't be allowed to live freely in Palestine. The women in that who are here, who are supporting that bullshit, would be forced to cover themselves up, you know, their face and everything. The LGBTQ or whatever the fuck they call themselves, they wouldn't be able to gather in parades and celebrate. They wouldn't. They would be fucking stoned to death.
Pushed off the roof of the buildings.
So I was just about to bring that up because all weekend, you know, I got to stop. I got to stop having my weekends consumed by just Twitter. You know what I mean? I have become addicted to this shit just because it's just when you think that things can't get any worse and you see like you're like these people exist. So the LGBTQ, you know, oh, got my sign. LGBTQ stands with Palestine. And the comments, they were like, you do realize if you went there, they would throw you off a building.
They would. Mm-hmm.
They certainly would.
They don't like you. And it was comment after comment. It is the truth. I'm sorry. Look at what they've been doing. You know, they did it in Iran. They did it in Iraq. They had the live videos where these Muslim guys were gay. They found them. They put them on top of that building and they fucking pushed them off that motherfucker and they filmed it and put it all over the internet. They do not like that. They're against that. A woman's rights? I think they just got the right in Saudi Arabia like 2 years ago to drive a fucking car.
And you know what I mean? Oh, here's another interesting fact, right? For it's the same. Who understands them? I don't fucking know, Jeremy, to be honest with you. Because Israel has the second largest LGBTQ parade yearly. They do. Google this. You'll find it. The second largest LGBTQ parade happens in Israel. And this is the LGBT community hates Israel. They support Palestine.
It's an oxymoron.
It is.
It really is. Look, a lot of this, we know where it's being fueled from. The same groups that are giving money to the Antifas, the LGBTQ community, the BLM community, are the same ones fueling the Hamases and the Syrians. And we all know who's one of those big cats. And when you tell me that it's a conspiracy theory that, you know, the Soroses and all them are not behind this, bullshit, because look at all the progressive and open borders, you know, in every country, and look at every progressive DA and progressive government. Who's the one funding it all? The same motherfuckers. So it ain't no different. This is why the tactics are the same. They're the same. When you look at Antifa and LGBTQ, they ain't not much different from an organization standpoint. They do the same bullshit. The way they scream and cackle and burn buildings down and I'm fighting for freedom so I can destroy property, but you can't touch me. I can scream in your face and spit on you and call you a fucking Nazi, but if you fucking bitch slap me because I had enough of it, my First Amendment right. No, bitch. No. You're going to fucking get violent. I'm going to get violent back. I mean, that's the way people, that's how it always, if you punch me in the face, I'm not going to be like, oh, because you're fucking LGBTQ, I can't hit you back. No, bitch. You fucking hit me, I'm going to fuck you up.
Yeah.
And and that's the shit that they're doing. They're pushing the fucking line. And this is, they're even, the cops are now, I saw a video in England where the cops, some of the cops that are Palestinian and whatnot, or Muslim, they're marching around with them. Yeah, free Palestine. That's not what a cop's supposed to be saying.
Jesus Christ.
Well, yeah. Okay.
In uniform. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, the cops. Dude,
I mean, but again, England. But look at England. Look at London. London, I mean, look, London is no longer London. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean,
dude, you think
I'm
kidding? Very
big influx.
You think I'm kidding? They've imported their extinction. This is the guy that
most of Europe has. Open borders. I guarantee I don't know much about the mayor, but I know he's a Muslim mayor. But I guarantee, if you look at who was one of his biggest donors, I guarantee Soros and all them are behind it. The same people that are pushing this shit here. You don't believe so?
I have no idea, man.
Shit, man. Soros is fucking Open for Democracy is the one, one part of the lawyers in the Brennan Group, well funded by Soros, that's trying to stop the audit in Arizona.
Follow the money.
Link to the DOJ.
So we're gonna jump into the next conversation, which is the whole ransomware. Now this is over a week old now, but we're gonna talk about it. But before that,
hackers, you know, not terrorists.
Before we get into that, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I don't know how many was it. How many former generals, military generals, they wrote a letter,
125,
questioning Biden's mental health. This was an open letter. They're saying Biden is not
125 U.S. generals,
former military generals. Yeah,
former. So none current. Retired.
None current, of course, because they can't.
They're not allowed to. The new ones can't say anything. They get retrieved.
They all signed a letter, or they all wrote individual letters.
They signed an open letter.
Let me read this article here, just the first part. More than 120 retired generals and admirals posted an open letter questioning the legitimacy. Even more specific, of the 2020 election results, and President Joe Biden's mental and physical health. Yeah. And by the way, the latest Biden gaffe, he goes golfing. Takes a swing.
You saw that video?
Takes a swing. The ball ends up behind him somehow. And he's looking around trying to find the ball. This is fucking, I'm not making this shit up.
You got to play that video. I mean, this thing, I watched this thing. I'm pretty sure I sent it to you. And I just stripped out the Twitter stuff and I downloaded the video directly because I meant to put it on Instagram. This fucking guy. He literally, the ball's on the rock and everybody's giving him an excuse, you know. But I thought golfing is not good. This cocksucker, we have 30 fucking crises going on in this country right now. This fucker's golfing? Fuck you. If Trump can't golf, neither can you, you cocksucker. But literally, he fucking swings, and literally, it's almost like his backswing hit the ball. You know what I mean? And the ball went backwards, and he literally looking around like, what the fuck happened to my shit? Oh. Yeah, dude, I mean,
he's a fucking
But this guy's a fucking shit show. He was driving today. Another guy. So do you see his gaffe today?
Oh, yeah.
So this motherfucker is in Michigan. I don't know if you have the video and you're going to play, but he's in Michigan visiting.
When he tells a lady.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Yeah, when he tells a lady reporter. But let me play this for Jeremy. Just Biden loses. Watch this, Jeremy. Oh, Jesus Christ.
We have a guy that made t-shirts, you know, that said, isucksgolf.com. Okay, so he needs to send him that shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's him down there.
He's way out there. He's very far. Of course, they're not going to let the news media anywhere near him, but somebody gets their cell phone and records this. God bless them. Look at this. Because apparently, I just watch this shit. He's taking a swing. The ball ends up right behind him.
He hit the ball into the rock and the ball went behind him. But still, come on, guys.
Oh, yeah, there's like a strip of rocks right in front. Okay. Yeah,
but...
Yeah, shit happens when you play golf, I'm sure.
No, but it's even funny when it's him because he's already lost. And he looks around confused. Now, if you scroll down in the comments, scroll down, keep going. Oh, somebody posted a... Oh, no, you actually got to click on it. You're not in the comments.
Oh, okay.
You're on the video.
Okay, hold up.
So, yeah, just click on that and then scroll down. Oh. Never mind. That was an awesome video. Somebody posted a video of like, oh, this is how it's done. And it's Trump teeing off where he takes like two practice swings and he's like, whacks the shit out of the fucking ball like 300 yards. It's one of those things that cracked me up. But anyway.
All right. So let's talk about. So what happened with the pipeline? So the country gets a cyber attack.
Hack.
Okay, hack. So I don't understand what the difference is.
No, that's what Biden's calling it, because if you say it's cyber attack, now it's terrorism, and they're not terrorists, they're hackers. You can't call it hacking. You can't call it terrorism.
Hack. Oh, wow. Oh, he's getting around freaking having to do something, right?
Yes.
Now, so the largest fuel pipeline system in the United States was forced to shut down its entire network after ransomware hack. And the Biden administration, the intelligence agencies, and the media were quick, very quick to blame Russia. Now, they got around it by saying, well, it wasn't necessarily Russia. It was somebody in Russia. Right. But that's their default mode. Right. So how does the White House respond? How would you think, Jeremy, that the White House would respond as soon as this happened?
So how should it have responded, or how did it respond?
How would you think they responded, knowing that they're leftists?
Oh, no, the crickets.
Well, crickets would have been crickets would have been
better. Crickets would have been better. Okay. Tell me.
No, they
Tesla. Drive an electric car.
Exactly. They doubled down on renewable energy. And the Secretary of Energy basically tells people, well, you know what? Who wouldn't be having a problem right now? Anybody who had a, you know, renewable energy vehicle, had clean electricity, or, you know, was doing. Yes, dude. And to me, it's like,
it's balls.
Yeah. The Department of Energy, dude, said that if you drove an electric car, this wouldn't be affecting you.
Now, it would still, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me explain why. Let me explain why, because the one thing they always forget to tell you about electric cars, you know, that you know, the thing, you know, the charging station.
Mm-hmm.
What is that fueled by?
Coal.
Not wind. Yeah. Not solar.
Yeah.
Fossil fuel fuels that, and it's actually a hell of a lot more fossil fuel than fucking putting in your gas. So guess what? You know what would have happened with an electric car? You would have been able to charge that motherfucker because the grid would have went down.
Obviously that was a very bad choice of statements.
They're assholes.
They had a responsibility to protect that, and they failed, and they just decide to brush it off and blame people for driving gas-powered cars instead of electric cars.
See, Jeremy, you look at this as if this was a... Because I look at this as how convenient for this cyber attack to happen at such a great moment when Biden is trying to do this whole, you know, Green New Deal push and all that fucking bullshit. I don't think, you know, I was talking to a friend at work about this. This reminds me of the way, you know, crime syndicates would bully small businesses to pay for protection, right? The protect against any harm from, hey, a gangster might come around and, you know what, we'll protect you. It's the very same way the mafia works, right? Hey, that's a nice gas-powered car you got there. Be a shame if you ran out of gas. It's a nice Keystone pipeline you got there.
So, you know? who turned owns it off? The pipeline? Who owns the pipeline?
It's private owned, right?
All right, so it's privately owned. And do we know how the malware, whatever the...
It's ransomware. I mean, you email somebody.
Somebody in the company opened up an email.
Probably. I mean, they didn't say exactly how it happened. Well, just like anything.
So I guess that's important to know. Did someone open up an email that had it attached as a payload, or did they actually break through a firewall and shut shit down?
I don't think they disclosed that information, but what ends up happening is obviously they go in and they encrypt your files, and in order to decrypt those files, you got to pay a check of change. Right, so I don't think the company disclosed how they were able to get in and do what they did.
So, how does that work? They encrypt your files and then they send an email to everybody in the company saying we have the key to unlock your computers if you pay us X billions of dollars.
Yeah, they send you a note saying, you know, to the CEO or whoever of the company saying, if you want your company back, you got to pay us $5 million. Here's the information. You deposit it. Once you get it, we unlock it for you. It's encryption, so they have the key to unlock it.
Right.
You're paying $5 million for your, you know,
now,
data
look,
back in your company.
I'm gonna say this because there was a lot of speculation on the Twitter sphere, on TikTok, and look, I don't have any facts on this. But what I do get is a bad feeling that this was coordinated, similar to the way that the election shit was stolen. This was coordinated. And I'm even willing to go out on a limb here and believe that this intelligence agencies are involved. I think the intelligence agencies have been infiltrated by really bad characters, guys. I'm getting to the point where I believe this. I don't have any proof. Don't come at me, you know, try to, you know, but it's just weird how this shit works. You know, the people who deny that, you know, voting machines were hacked are so quickly convinced that a pipeline was hacked. You know, and to me, it's like, wait, what? How do you believe yeah. that this is hacked and this is not? Now, people were making, you know, what were you going to say something, Tim, before I go on to this next point? Where were you?
Oh, no, I was going to say the, you know, the part to your point of, you know, this seems real fishy with everything going on, right? The first order of business, well, and part of the interesting part of our the energy secretary and our climate czar, you know, John Cuckey. They both admitted to the same thing. They go, you know what the best way to move gas is and the safest way? Pipeline.
Mm. Mm.
So what was the first order of business Joe Biden did?
Shut down the
Keystone Pipeline. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shut down Keystone Pipeline, right? Then 3 weeks later, one of the craziest storms that Texas has ever seen froze that whole thing, sent the price of gas up all over the country, right? Mm-hmm. So now the demand for gas goes up, okay? I mean, the price of gas goes up. Now, it stabilized for a minute, went back down because we started seeing gas go down about 20, 30 cents, right? Then all of a sudden, things are getting better. People are fighting back on this Green New Deal infrastructure plan, saying we have a bipartisan solution that Democrats and Republicans kind of agree on, you know, the Manchins and all them. They're kind of not going to support the Biden plan. So he's been trying to lobby him all, you know, for the last couple of weeks. Then all of a sudden, the Coastal Pipeline goes down. Huh. Biden's infrastructure plan was actually going to fail because they even realized they don't think they could have got it through reconciliation, I heard, you know, from what I was reading. So now all of a sudden, your biggest pipeline goes down and people are going, what the fuck? Oh, okay. Biden needs to fix the infrastructure. Spend as much money as you can to fix this shit. Oh, okay.
No.
So you can't tell me that as much as it probably is not the potential of it being completely separate from all each other, 100%. But again, how many coincidences happen before you like, wait a minute, there's too much going into this, right? Call it conspiracy theory, whatever, because the same conspiracy theories last year about vaccine passports not being a thing, now everybody's clamming at the mouth for it. So that was a conspiracy theory last year. It's a reality this year. So to me, this is no different. And to your point, this is like paying for protection. You want this to stop? Make sure you pass that bill. I'll make sure it doesn't stop. But meanwhile, nothing will ever happen to that pipeline. You're going to spend it on bullshit.
Mm. You know, and what's weird, another thing that came out today, and I haven't really looked too much into it, but I heard that he's basically loosening up restrictions and allowing for Russia to get their own pipeline.
Germany.
Yeah, and so you got to ask yourself, it's like, wait, why is a pipeline good in Russia, but not a pipeline that's going to make us a little bit more energy independent, or at least have an American ally providing us with? It's like, what is he doing? Now, people were making fun of Biden, you know, shortly after this whole thing happened, because if you guys remember, supposedly Hunter was the expert in the field, right? Because you got to remember, Hunter Biden was paid by Burisma, the largest gas company in the Ukraine. And he served as a member of some fucking board there. So there was people online that they kept trolling on Biden's tweets, urging him. And one of the funniest things that I saw, I laughed out loud when I read this. And one of the comments said, "Release the crackhead."
I'll tell you, Poso, man.
Release the crackhead on this.
Poso.
Oh, my God.
I screenshotted one of his tweets, and he's like, "Don't worry, guys. Hunter's got it under control. He was doing it, and I tagged, and on Instagram, tagged climate change. Dude, I was getting haterade on that shit. They're like, why would you tag us? You're ignorant. Your politics are getting in the way. I'm like, mission accomplished.
You got to show these people.
You know what I mean? Holy shit. But now, this is getting ridiculous, man.
Now, it was another weird thing that happened, which is why I think this was fucking coordinated, was Biden had a press conference shortly after that as well, where he was asked on whether or not he was briefed that the company was going to be paying the ransom to release the data, because that company ended up paying the I don't understand why they did, but I believe, you know, again, I have no proof, but I think they were pressured by Biden to pay that fucking ransom. Dude, this is because he's not a fucking leader. Trump would have never done that. Trump would have fucking forced Russia to bring these weasels out and drag them in the fucking daylight. He would have.
They wouldn't have. They would have. They wouldn't have done it. They wouldn't have done it.
They wouldn't
with
have.
Him because exactly. the ramification. Well, they did the SolarWinds hack. So we can't say they wouldn't do anything. I mean, the SolarWinds hack happened under Trump. That was a big one.
Right. But it didn't affect fucking, you know what I mean? Like what the gas shortages like this, not like this. There was a big scare, but it wasn't, you know what I mean? Like what's happening here. Where you know, the gas shortage and all that.
Right, but we got to call out that, you know, we got to call a spade that this shit, I mean, and ransomware has been happening for a very long time. We just don't hear about it. Right? Big companies get hit all the time. It's just this one.
Right, they keep it quiet because either they have backups of the data that they lost and they could just say, screw it, just wipe that machine and we'll get the data off the backups or whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know enough about this. Was apparently this was one of the largest pipelines. The largest.
East Coast.
So it sounds to me like we need more than one.
Well, they
more
closed
than two.
Well, we closed one.
Well, right.
Well, so, this is why he told. This is why.
Wait. Hold on. The Keystone Pipeline was that was a private company as well, right? Or was that?
I believe. Government?
Yeah, it's private. It's private, so but the government obviously allows. Yeah, go ahead.
What do they allow?
Because it's coming from Canada.
Why did Biden decide to shut down a pipeline that was being built by a private company?
Because
how does he have climate, the lands and everything? Yeah.
Because change. The fucking climate stupid people didn't like it. It's cleaner.
Well, permits.
It's fucking
right.
Yeah.
But it's going through federal lands, I believe, right? So there's permits involved, federal regulations. So he basically said, we're shutting you down.
We're revoking your permits to go through federal.
Yeah, all that shit. But basically, if you had that pipeline coming in, crisis not avoided, but crisis mitigated because you have another stream that you can take to get, you know, oil and gas.
You
from
should
there.
Never. That's like having.
That's like using the same rubber.
The internet doesn't do that. The internet does not have one.
It's why the truth.
Like okay.
Our power grid, our U.S. Yeah. power grid, electrical power, there is not one single point of failure. If you cut one line, you don't lose power to an entire area, right?
Texas, they got off the federal grid, and that's what the whole big scandal was about.
See, this is what happens. The grid is there to keep people up and running and alive when there's a problem. And Joe Biden, the jackass that he is, decided to stop the completion of a pipeline that would have significantly helped this problem. But no, he's too busy sucking the dick of the environmentalists.
Jeremy, look, and a lot of people are connecting the dots, and this is the beautiful thing that I've been seeing happen. And I think, was it you, Tim, whoever sent me this video? There was this guy, a black gentleman, and,
this is great.
Wearing his MAGA hat, and he pulls up to a gas station, and he starts yelling at people. He's like, where the fuck are the Biden supporters at? Where are you at? To defend this cocksucker for fucking, you know, the gas prices. Where are you? I had to defend Trump my whole time. You know, I was there defending Trump and all the shit that he was doing. Where are you guys at to defend him? Nowhere. Nobody to be found. Now, here's the thing, dude. Remember all those people who were talking about, global warming and, you know, pollution's going to kill the planet. I saw something, dude. Because when the panic hit, you know, the gas shortage panic. It was a short-lived panic, but it was a panic. People were like freaking. Dude, I saw these motherfuckers filling trash bags with fucking gasoline. I saw fucking Tupperware idiots filling up their Tupperware with fucking gas. And these are the same fucking, you know, oh, the planet.
A car in Florida set on fire because they had, like, they were transporting gas in, you know, Tupperware, you know, again, something where gas is not supposed to.
Milk jugs.
Dude, the shit set on fire.
Good.
And, dude, you know what's bad? When the U.S., one of the departments of the one of the U.S. Department of, you know, one of the federal or, you know,
Energy Secretary. I know which one he, yeah.
Literally, they had to post on Twitter, just a reminder, guys, please don't put gas in trash bags. The fact that you had to do that.
Trash bags.
Yeah. The fact trash that bags, you had to do that, we got a much bigger problem. Like, they know, like, it was, like, clear. It was a clear, plastic bag.
I know what a trash bag is.
Yeah, clear. I'm watching this. I'm like, I thought it was a joke. And people are like, no, that was from the winter. I'm like, no. Like, same video. I mean, well, it's.
And, you know, you can always look at it through, who's the survival of the fittest?
Darwin.
It's all Darwinism, right?
Yeah, but the problem
stupid
is.
And, hold on. If you're stupid enough to fill a garbage bag up with gas and then put it in your car and drive away, frankly, you deserve to burn to death.
Oh, right.
In
but
your
now the
car.
Problem is when you're doing that at the gas station, now you're causing a much bigger problem because you're jeopardizing everybody.
Correct. Yeah,
that's
right.
Not Darwin taking effect. That's you basically fucking blowing up.
Why don't you
up.
Just pour it under the floorboards of your car?
That's
away.
Domestic terrorism right there. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. So.
But people are fucking dumb.
So, hold on.
This is like the toilet paper pandemic of 2020. Yes.
Hold on. I figured it out, though. I figured out this all stems from them passing those laws in those states where people who couldn't fill their own gas tank, they had to have an attendant fill your gas tank.
Yeah.
Remember, we talked about this
Jersey
like
and Oregon.
A year and a half ago. Yeah, there were those two states, and now people, they're not smart enough to figure out you can't pour that gas into a trash bag.
Honestly, look, there's a reason why you have to have people doing jobs, because people really are stupid. There's a good portion of this population that's really dumb. So when you have that safety mechanism in between you and them, less dumb shit happens.
Well, I kind of like the idea
of
them dying from their stupidity.
Think about how back in the day.
The world.
No, but this was 25 years ago, okay? 25 years. This is not that long ago, right? We were teenagers. Well, you were still a man. But you used to go to the gas
just
station.
Just called me old and fat.
They used to go to the gas station, right? The attendant would come out, ask you what you want. Oh, I want, you know, give me eight. Fill it up, 87. Okay. Hey, pop your hood. He checked your oil. He checked your tranny fluid. He checked your window.
Full service.
He gave you the full service. You know how many people wind up screwing up their engines and transmissions because they don't check that shit anymore? I don't check my shit because I said when the light comes on, I go, I don't even check that shit no more. You know what I mean? But like nobody checks their oil because there's a light that tells you check your oil, but nobody actually. You still might, but most people
don't. The new cars these days, the truck we bought a couple years ago, it tells you, you have, you know, 65% oil life left. You have 25% oil life. When it gets down to 10% or whatever, the little thing pops up the screen saying, hey, you have 10% oil. You should get a call your service center and get it changed.
That service was a beautiful service that has gone away. And how many jobs went away with it? Because because dummies wanted to fill up their own shit. Oh,
well, they didn't want to pay for it, right? Because
now you're looking at it. Now you got people filling up fucking trash bags with gas.
Right.
Fuck
so
you, you dumb
I remember
fuck.
As a kid, when you would pull up to the gas stations, right? They had the little, they call them islands, right? The pumps are on the little islands. And there was always one side of one of the islands that it would say there's self-service. And then there was a sign where it said cut in half. Right. This side is self-service. This side is full service. So if you were to pull up to that full service, the guy would come out from the mechanic shop area. He would ask, you know, what you need. And they'd be like, I want, you know, fill her up. And it wasn't 87 back then. It was either regular or unleaded.
Yeah.
And that was your two options. And you would say, you know, fill it up regular or whatever. And they would do that. They would set the pump. They would clean your windows. They'd check your oil. They would check your coolant to make sure that everything's topped off. And if you needed a little oil, they would top it off. If you needed a little transmission fluid, they'd top it off. If you need some wiper fluid, they'd top it off.
Beautiful service.
And it's that doesn't exist anymore because they also charged more for that service. If you were to buy gas on that side of the pump, you paid more
100%,
for it.
100%.
And I don't remember how much it was. It was probably 10, 12 cents a gallon more or something like that. But you know, to have somebody come out and take care of your car like that, you know, maybe it was worth it. Who knows?
There was a lot of things. I think You're right, Tim. There's a sector of the population that is fucking titties that are like, what the fuck, man?
They're beyond
like,
the titties.
No common sense. But, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things that have gone, you know, a way that, you know, it's just times change. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think pumping gas is that much of a challenge for the majority of the population.
Have you ever watched somebody try to pump gas that doesn't know what side they're fucking...
Oh yeah,
oh my god, I have a story about that. Oh my god. Like, yeah. All right. So, recently we drove to Reno, right? Laura had a gymnastics competition out there, so we drove out there. Mm-hmm. And halfway out there we stopped in Vegas to fill up with gas. Mm-hmm. So we pull into we're in line at the gas pump because and we're behind this, it's like a big it was like a bread delivery truck, right? So it's kind of like the UPS trucks, right? The big box trucks, right? Yep. And this guy pulls up to the pump and the gas tank is on the other side of the truck than the side that he pulled up to.
Why didn't you record this?
Hold on. We should have, because it just got worse from there on. So you see the guy, he walks up to the pump. He puts his card in, gets everything. He goes to grab the hose. The hose doesn't even reach all the way around the side of the truck. And so... He's like, oh, okay. So he's looking around. And so he backs the truck up. I'm thinking, why'd he back the truck up? That's making the hose have to go even further. So he gets in the truck. He backs the truck up a little bit. He disappears. I go, where'd he go? He slides the hose underneath the truck.
No.
And he tries to fill the truck from underneath. And of course, he's yanking on this hose trying to get it out from under the truck. It's too short. It won't fit.
You should have videoed this thing. You would have been.
We should have, because it was hilarious. Famous. And this guy, you know, he's wearing a polo shirt. He's got his dress khakis on. He's wearing nice shoes. Right. He's the delivery guy for this bread company. And it was just, it was just hilarious. And finally, you see the guy. He just like, there's another guy on like the pump behind him. Whatever. He gets out of the car and he's trying to help the guy. Right. So they're trying to help feed the hose underneath the truck.
Why didn't he tell him to move it?
And so finally, at some point, the bread truck guy just throws his hands up in the air. He throws the nozzle back into the pump and drives off without gas.
That video we watched a year ago where the girl's at the gas station.
Kept going around.
And the guy's face, he's like, what is she doing? Yeah. She kept going around to the same side.
Yeah. She tried the other side. Oh, no.
Seriously, this is why you need somebody to pump your gas. But this is why Costco, when you go to Costco, they actually have it extends so that you can be on.
Yes. Well, yeah. And so
which I'm okay with, because
this was at a Sam's Club.
Yeah.
And Sam's Club has the same thing, but their extension is only like 2 feet.
For a car, not a fucking bread truck.
Right. So, and the ones at Costco, they're more like 5 feet.
Yeah.
Because we used to do that. We used to get gas at Costco, and every once in a while when the line, because it seems like for whatever reason, the majority of the vehicles, the tank is on the left side of the car.
Which it should be.
And so there's more people that get in that line. But every once in a while, when that line's super long and then the right side of the tank, you know, the right side of the vehicle line is short. So I would pull up there and I would reach it over the bed of the truck and fill it up. And it worked, right? It was fine. The hose was long enough. Well, we got rid of Costco because they're a bunch of idiots. And we went to Sam's Club, and Sam's Club's is a lot shorter. And I tried that once, and it was like, it barely fit. It was like all weird. I'm like, okay, I'm not doing that again. So anyways, it was hilarious though, as far as idiots pouring their own gas.
That's the free market,
that was a bit
man.
Of a tangent.
The free market, man. Things are going to come and go. It's supply and demand. All right. We're going to touch
on dummies never disappear
on one. Exactly. On one more thing, which is the, election fraud. There's been new developments in the Maricopa County audit. And I'm just going to touch on a few of these because this is getting even more interesting, and the media is refusing to cover this. And when they do cover it, they just try to downplay the how serious this is. So bullet points here, discrepancies in the number of ballots reported versus what's labeled on the boxes, you know, in the actual count. That's what they're discovering right now in the audits. Also, the chain of custody. There's been discovery that apparently they can't track down to where, you know, where this was kept, and boxes that were being looked at by other people and people not knowing, well, who's checking out these boxes? Like they have been under not necessarily surveillance, but yeah, surveillance. You know, these ballots, since they were placed in storage, they've had a camera. I don't know if you knew this, Tim. And some people reviewed that and they said, oh, who are these people interacting with these boxes here? This is fucking crazy. Now, also, they've discovered unsealed boxes, bags, and ballots. You know, they can't answer
to. Hold on. So to back up what you said, you say that it's a corporation commission that did this, right? The election?
The Board of Elections.
Board of Elections. So the people who are responsible for the election stated, we had, just for simplicity, we had 1 million ballots. Mm-hmm. And then when they do this audit, they come to find out, oh, well, we only have 850,000 of these ballots. There's 150,000 of them missing.
So,
and then they go back and look at the footage and they find that people have been in and out of there.
Yep. Exactly. So the first bullet point was that that there's boxes, right? And on the boxes, there's a number, and the number says the number of ballots that are in there. Well, when they go to count the ballots that are in there, it's a big discrepancy. It's not like it's one off, you know, and this is many boxes that are off by thousands of ballots, either missing or gone, or an extra amount of ballots that are in there. And so that's what they're discovering, that the numbers don't match. The count that's on the box does not match the actual count inside the box. Also, and we talked about touched this a little bit on our previous episode, which was nobody knowing the administrative password for the Dominion systems. You know, the routers talking to at least 50 other networks in different county departments when people had been saying, well, these are isolated and they don't go out. It's like, wait, what? Why were these on a network? What were they communicating with? Also, a large amount of digital adjudication ballots. They counted 200,000 adjudicated ballots, meaning that the ballot was scanned, and when they went to review it, there was some modification made to the ballot after the fact. 200,000. That's a large number.
So you said, So I get my ballot, I go in and I vote, I put it in the box, they count it, somebody changes it and then puts it into a storage box?
For whatever reason.
What you just...
Yeah, so these are different bullet points, right, that I'm covering on issues that they're discovering.
I'm trying to identify what you're...
Yeah, so one of the issues was that when a ballot gets scanned, either for whatever reason, the system didn't read it, or it wasn't clear, or there was an error on, you know, after the ballot was scanned. So what you can do is you can go in from the software side, go in and go ahead, Tim.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just making the hand gesture where you can change it.
Oh yeah. So you can go in and fix it. And so they don't know. I don't know if the software keeps track of what exactly was changed, but it does keep track of that a ballot was changed, and they're calling this adjudicated, meaning somebody went in after the fact and made an adjustment, whatever that is. And now there's 200,000.
Which is normal. It happens all the time where, you know, somebody doesn't fill out the bubble correctly. That's a lot.
That's a lot. 200,000 ballots.
Now, is it changed at the time of voting, or is it changed at the time they've taken that ballot somewhere else and counted it?
When they're scanning it.
So like if I go to the poll, I voted early this year, so I don't know how it worked. But if you were to go on election day, you get your ballot, you fill it out, do they slide it through the Dominion machine right in front of you?
I don't know how
it
was.
Or do they put it into a secure box, take it somewhere else and count them all together?
I'm not sure.
I don't know, because I voted early.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And I didn't vote this year in Maricopa County, so I don't know.
Right. So how did they do it in PA?
I scan. I put mine through the machine.
So you put, and that's the counting machine, mm-hmm. not the ballot box that they take somewhere else. All right. So let's assume they did that here. You fill out your form, right? And you circle, you know, you get to choose one for president, one for vice, you know, well, not vice president. You get one for president, you get one for representative, you get one for senator, whatever. And then you get down to like the judges. It says you can choose 3 out of these 10 judges and you accidentally pick 4.
Right.
Right. And you scan it through. The machine goes, eh, there's a problem here. Somebody at the poll looks at it and goes, oh, well, you chose 4 people here and you're only allowed to choose 3. So then I take my pencil and I erase the.
No, I think they give you a new ballot at that point.
Right. You would have to do a new ballot because it's pen. But so then you redo it and then you run it through again.
Yeah, I think it's with the mail-in ballots because, you know.
Yeah, because they can't.
If I remember voting in the. When I voted in the primary, I put mine through the machine.
Okay.
Early voting this year, I
put it in a box.
I put it in the box.
Right. We did the same thing.
Right. So when they're counting it out and scanning it, if there's a discrepancy, you know, like not the if the bubble's halfway filled, they're allowed to go in. It's all over America, this happens. They go in and they fix the errors in that ballot. Like if a circle's not fully filled, right? They don't sit there and, well, he didn't vote for the Senate. We're going to go fill it in. But
why not?
Well, that's where when you have 200,000 ballots being adjudicated, that's raising a lot of eyebrows because that's a big margin of error. Mm-hmm. When you look at most margin of error, it's like I think it was like 0.1 or 0.01. Like it's a very small amount. Percentage, you know, yeah. I mean, it's probably in the thousands, but not hundreds of thousands.
Here is the thing. Even if there is a on those 200,000 adjudications, even if say let's 10% of those were changed incorrectly, right? Adjudicated. Biden won Arizona by what? No more than 11,000 votes?
Uh-huh.
So that's why this big number in adjudicated ballots is drawing concerns, because that's beyond the margin of error or the margin of win. You know, even if you account for, you know, the people who adjudicated made a 10% error on what was intended and what was actually adjusted for. So I'm just, again, giving you bullet points on what they're discovering. Moving on, Maricopa County, and I think we talked about this last week, deleted the databases on some of these machines 10 days prior to turning over the equipment. And they discovered
they
this.
They know it was 10 days. They know it was 10 days
because
prior.
Because they were ordered by a court, because this was subpoenaed, and they were ordered, turn this in. And the guy who's doing the forensic audit said this was deleted 10 days, you know, prior to them turning the equipment over after the court had ordered them. Now, the guy testified today, the guy who's doing that forensic audit, and he said he was able to recover that data. So he was able to recover that. So it's a big old shit on their part.
Oh, yeah. So people shit about, all right, real go quick.
Ahead. Yeah.
So they're. Couple points. People were trying to explain why they were trying to say cyber ninjas don't know what they're doing, because they're like, oh, the server was built with a RAID, you know, with a RAID, because with RAID, you know, gives, you know, we all know what RAID is, right? Mm-hmm. With the geeky guys, right?
Yes.
And when they built their server to mimic that, they didn't have that. So that's why data was missing.
Mm-hmm. That's no.
That's not how RAID.
Okay. No. Okay. Thank you. Then they were like, well, they don't know what they're doing because it was on the machine, so it really wasn't deleted. Like, these are people that don't understand how computer forensics work.
Yeah.
I understand how it works. I have friends that do this for a living. They've actually saved their company from ransomware and saved people's lives. But his boss got the credit, not him. But yeah, everybody's an expert now on digital forensics. You can delete something. Mm-hmm. 10,000 times. And even if you wipe the fucking disk with certain things, if that drive doesn't get written so many times, there's the forensic software tools can get this. And if you did it wrong and you just deleted it thinking that nobody, you're an idiot. You know what I mean? Well, they have the right software to do this. Digital forensics is a tried and true thing. If it's good enough for every company around the world, even down to this colonial hack. What do you think they're using in the colonial pipeline hack to figure out how they got in? Forensics, assholes. The same thing they're doing over here. Oh, they're using the same companies, you know, that are doing this audit. That's what they get paid to do. So if you don't understand how computers work, digital forensics work, shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? It's like me saying about masks. But this is big because apparently Kelly Ward, they're starting to give little snippets of certain things. And she's like, the databases that we recovered were labeled tally, voting. I was like, oh, shit.
So all right. See. So back to my point. Somebody had access to these servers, deleted these files 10 days before turning them over. Who had that access? Who was it? And guess what? They're going to jail. They're going to jail.
Dominion is refusing
or obstruction of justice.
Right. So Dominion is also refusing to give it those admin passwords.
The passwords, right.
The passwords
I have a question about that. Who owns that equipment?
Aha.
Exactly. But they're trying to say that's proprietary software. And therefore, if they disclose these passwords, apparently their company is compromised and intellectual property and whatever. Bullshit. It's bullshit that they're trying to claim on this.
To that point. So this is what's also interesting. I forget the guy's name, the Republican that's running the recorder right now. He said none of our. See, you got to look at how people choose their words. When they were like, oh, they deleted, and he came out, he said, none of our people deleted anything.
The Corporation Commissioner?
Or whatever.
What? It's not. Is it the Corporation Commissioner?
The Board of Supervisors.
Board of Supervisors.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever the hell they're called. Nobody in our department deleted anything. He didn't say, he didn't deny that nothing was deleted. He just said that nobody in his department did. So he wanted a retraction and then to restate the statements and all this, and that's defamation, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So they're trying every which way to kind of take the blame off them and put it back on the Senate, saying it's a sham and they're fucking Trump's fucking pawns and you're wasting a lot of money. And they wrote a 17-page letter calling the Senate to stop this. No, they called they're doing all that. Guilty people, innocent people don't act like that. Don't act like this. That's my thing.
To add to your point, Tim, and this is why again I'm saying this. I don't have any proof, but you know, lot of people have a lot to say to try to undermine this. And one of those groups of people are the intelligence agencies, who are claiming that because they were saying, hey, you can't turn in those routers. You can't review those routers. You know. Because the company who's doing the forensics, they're asking for this shit so they can track where this shit went. And so the intelligence said, well, you can't have that because you're going to compromise some of our servers. Wait, why is the intelligence agency, why were they connected to the Dominion machine? Again, a lot of people who should not be involved here have their hands very in this, and they're worried about this. You know what I mean? Like I don't trust them, dude. You know,
this is bigger. This is why they're freaking out. Whatever comes out of this, which is probably going to be nothing except for we're going to be like we're right, and you can't just redo a like. This is bigger than what everybody realizes. I think this is like they caught them, and they're scared shitless now.
I hope so. There was supposed to be a hearing today for the Maricopa County. I completely missed it, but it was
the Senate hearing was today. I didn't watch it though. I had to work.
Well, because I mean, the mainstream media right now is just trying to completely brush this off. But yeah, I think Maricopa. It's like you said, Tim. It's a domino effect. Whatever this shit uncovers, a lot of other states are starting to slowly move towards this, and I think that's why.
Wisconsin, I believe, just ordered a full forensic review or is in the process of voting on it. The court in Michigan threw out the case, not on anything except for like no merit, basically. You know what I mean? Like they're all using the no merit and it's open for appeal, but they were like, well, you got what you wanted. Trump won. See, they're using the excuse of, well, they fixed the problem. the guy that was suing. So basically the judge was like, well, you got your forensic review. They realized that something happened the next day and they fixed it, and Trump won the county by like 60%. So case is done. That was the logic of throwing out the case. Oh yeah. So no.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even these same characters who are now in office, Kamala Harris, one of them, are the same guy.
Oh, they all came out as
who all were saying, hey, we shouldn't trust these ballot machines because they're easily manipulated. This was just fucking 2-3 years ago that they were talking about
erasing
this.
History.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. Now, one thing I did want to mention: the left keeps saying it. When I was looking into this, a lot of people will say, well, you know, it was all Republicans in Maricopa. It was all Republicans that were in control. You know, that's what they say. No, I'm telling you, that's what they're saying.
Oh, I know.
So
I know.
My response to that is so fucking what? You know, the argument to me holds no ground, because are they suggesting that, hey, it's Republicans. Republicans don't cheat. Is that what they're trying to say? And if so, then that puts Democrats in a bad light. Or are they oblivious to the fact that there are Republican turncoats like Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney? By the way, did you see what happened to Liz Cheney? Fucking removed from all her leadership positions. She goes on this fucking crying spree to fucking CNN, MSNBC. She was on all those shows trash talking the Republican Party. Fuck that bitch. Oh God, I'm so happy she was removed. Yep.
So people got to remember, in Arizona, so Arizona is McCain country. So the McCain Republicans had a lot of influence on this year's election in Maricopa. And all of a sudden, when Biden wins, who got put into his, who got a position in his administration? Sidney McCain. One hand washes the other, guys. This is Washington. This is D.C. This is D.C. Swamp fucking 101. I'm sorry. If Republicans are so bad, why does Biden keep meeting with the same ones? And why is all of a sudden Mitt Romney and Liz Cheney the fucking poster childs for fucking CNN and MSNBC? Why? Because it's a uniparty. They argue over the same. They argue that they hate the same, but they want the same goal. They want control. You know what I mean? And this populism movement is a threat. So what are they doing, say, with populism? They say it's neo-Nazism, it's racism, it's this. Everything to say why saying America is great is racist is what they're all going on. And it worked a little bit, but it didn't, I don't think. I think they overplayed that because people are like, stop. It's getting out of control. Because Republicans do cheat. They have cheated for a long time. The Lindsey Grahams, the Mitch McConnells, all that. If you're going to say it's bad polling, okay, I don't like those guys. Do I believe they've cheated this? Absolutely. I don't think there's Republicans that are clean in this. This is why they're staying silent. Mm-hmm. If you look, most of the GOP in Washington ain't saying shit. Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Greene, and a couple other, Gosler in Arizona, who they got articles to censor him now. They're the ones speaking out against this. Nobody else really is. They're getting no support here in Arizona from D.C., okay? Even Ronna McDaniels ain't saying shit. So what does that tell you? They're all fucking corrupt, and they were all against this movement, but they kissed the guy's ass for 4 years, and they stabbed him in the back. No different than what the fucking Romans did.
Trump is about to start rallies this coming month. I'm telling you, he's going to go after each and every one of those fucking cocksuckers, and I'm here for
They're
it.
Done.
They're done. Oh, yeah. Their fucking days are numbered. Trump is solidifying that he is the future of the Republican Party, and it's a great sign because, like Tim says, it's a populist movement. We'll see how it turns out, but I think it's much needed. I'm going to move on to the final topic, and we're just going to touch this because we've been going for a little bit. Fellow Neanderthals. You can now remove your.
I'm gonna start wearing a mask now. Now that they said you don't have to wear one, I'm gonna wear one.
So Biden tweeted, and he also had a press conference where he said, "The rule is now simple: get vaccinated, or wear a mask until you do. Wear a mask. Wear a mask. That's Biden. That's my impression of Biden.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, what was it you sent me, Tip? Get vaccinated. Get vaccinated.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, get masked or get vaccinated. Well, everyone's like, what the fuck is a vaccine?
What is a vaccine?
Yo, this guy is fucking...
Well, in my opinion, he fucking thinks he's King Jong-un fucking giving orders and shit. Like, what? No. And you know what's coming, right? You know what's coming, because this is what they think they're doing, dude. Is this, you know, because everybody's pressing for this. Oh, how am I going to know who's vaccinated and who's not? We need to put fucking... Make them wear a star that says that they're not vaccinated. Now, I'm telling you, that's what this bullshit that they're going to push for. And, you know, I'm going to touch on this because I think it's safe to say now, after everything that's happened in this past year, that Dr. Fauci is the biggest fucking liar.
Fucky.
Is the biggest liar. You know, and it's weird how this shit happened right after, what did we talk about last week? Where it was discovered that fucking him and the NIH were funding this Wuhan lab. The Wuhan lab pulls down its website and database a month before this shit breaks out. I think there's a lot of fucking coincidence that happened. I'm telling you guys, this is fucking weird.
What coincidences?
More coincidences at some point in time.
It just randomly happened.
You're going to have to say there's so many fucking patterns that we're seeing here. And at some point we have to say this, not fucking Bill Gates gets caught in a lie that he never visited fucking Epstein Island. Oh, guess what? They were fucking buddy buddies. Jeffrey Epstein and Bill Gates.
Oh, yeah. You know, something broke about that, too. So last year, Patrick Howley on the National File, he broke that one of Maxwell's nephews worked under Clinton, right? Well, guess what? It broke just the other day or yesterday or today that one of her other nephews worked for Obama in the White House and the Clinton Foundation. Dude, it's too much tied together. But back to your point of Fauci and masks and fraud
So Fauci, you know, like, it's like, what happened? So the CDC comes out and CDC says no more. Oh, Etch a Sketch. Just kidding. Everybody go back. And so then people started asking, they're looking around, you know, because even the left is like confused that it happened so quickly that, you know, some of the people on the left are like, well, I'm going to keep wearing my mask because I don't want people to think I'm a Republican. I'm not kidding with you. This is they're posting this type of shit. Yeah. Democrats are going to continue wearing their mask because they don't want people to think that they're Republicans. This is how quickly there wasn't even a transition of this. It just happened like this. Like Tim said, he sends an email.
So wait.
No more masks.
The CDC makes an announcement stating what? What exactly did
they say?
If you're vaccinated,
you can ditch your mask inside and outside unless you're in a really, really big gathering or something like that. You know what I mean? Okay. So basically they said, if you're vaxxed, COVID is over for you. Go back to living your life. Take the mask off and go inside and outside without a mask. Okay. So the left, the crazies on the left are freaking out because they go, well, how am I supposed to know if the person next to me is vaxxed if we don't wear masks?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you are, don't worry about it.
No. So now they're turning around and saying, I'm going to wear a mask still so people don't think I'm a Republican and an anti-vaxxer. And I saw something else where people are like, well, I'm going to start wearing a symbol on my shirt as a sign that says I'm vaccinated so that everybody else knows that this is the symbol that we're all on the same team. And I'm like, oh shit. The last time I saw that, you know what happened?
Mm-hmm.
That was something bad happened in the 1940s.
Those fucking idiots.
Yeah. So they're literally using this to repeat the same history and getting it in people's minds to start saying, how can I separate myself from everybody else?
So I'm assuming in a couple of months from, oh God, we need to do this, guys. A couple of months from now, you can go into your local Walgreens, whatever, and they'll have, instead of having those little pink cancer ribbons, they're going to little... brown ribbons for I've been vaccinated.
So here's the deal. This is where I laugh. So you basically just said COVID is over. Because if I'm not vaxxed and I go out, I don't have to show proof anywhere. No place can demand it. No place can demand. You can't walk into, you think fucking Hillbilly Jim and fucking Walmart is going to sit there and look for a fucking COVID passport? You can show them a blank piece of paper. Okay. You know what I mean? Like,
That's none of
but business. But right. But you think that these fucking people that can barely enforce a fucking shoplifter is going to fucking enforce a COVID passport? Okay. So COVID is now officially over because people that haven't been vaxxed are like, fuck it. I've been wearing a mask anyway. So this is fucking great. The ones that are masked, more and more are taking them off, but there's still the scaredy cat ones that are like, oh, and something else is happening. More and more people, prominent people, blue check people are questioning the fucking vaccine. Fucking
Chelsea Handler.
The girl that Chelsea Handler went out. She's like, I just got my second jet. I'm deaf in one ear. Did that happen to anybody else? And everyone's like, yeah, this is why we're not getting it. Right. Eric Clapton.
Fucking idiot.
Eric Clapton had such a severe reaction. He's like, I don't think I can ever play again.
Okay.
So they're all like, what the fuck? So when blue check people start questioning this shit, that's the worst thing that can happen, because if people are relying on them to sell the message and they're going, I lost hearing in my ear, I would be like, fuck you. That's what you get for going first, dumb.
Yeah.
You've been lied to.
You said Chelsea Handler is now deaf in one ear.
I mean, it's probably going to come back, but that's a side effect.
I was wondering if is it.
But she's freaking out.
Clapton said he doesn't think he can ever play again?
Yeah, he was worried about him not being able to play again because of the effects it had on like his body and his
muscular degeneration.
Yeah, something. There's a whole article that came out yesterday about that.
Oh, well,
And there's a TikTok is full of videos of people after they get the shot putting magnets on their arm and the fucking magnet sticks to their arm. They're like, what is in this?
I did want to say this though,
because you know it was all of a sudden. It was all of a sudden because you know Biden was talking about, well, you know, we might be able to open up. This is 2 months before 4th of July. Remember, he was talking about, well, we don't know when this is all going to end. So what changed and why the fuck did it happen all of a sudden? Because it was all of a sudden. Remember what they were saying? You know, if we can save one life, why? Wear a mask. Remember? This is fucking Biden, guys. Mm-hmm. What the fuck changed? Now, could it be, again, that Bill Gates and Epstein, the gas shortage, the Middle East crisis, the border crisis, the dismal economy, inflation, unemployment rate? Oh, I wonder if any of this had anything to do with it. And then they're like, oh, shit, guys, let's end this because we're, you know, I think that's what they're doing. I think they realized we've overplayed our hand. Yep.
Well, outside of all that, because that's a good logical answer to, you got to give somebody a schnitzel. God damn it. I can't say it.
Schnitzel.
Couple other things.
What?
A schnitzel. You know, wiener schnitzel. You know, I just died. My tongue got tied. So think about this. You can't. The big states, New York, California, turn around and say, no, we're not following the science now all of a sudden. But then the two other biggest states that gained seats in, you know, the House,
Florida and Texas.
Texas hasn't had a mask mandate for 2 months and baseball started and they've been packing their stadiums. Ain't nobody dropping dead from that. Number one. Number two, Florida. They've been having they had the massive UFC event. It's been, and they had WrestleMania. They've had the Super Bowl. People ain't dying.
Super spreader events.
They've had super spreader events and people aren't dying. I saw a video in Florida. I was so mad. I wanted to be there. Fucking one of the EDM fucking DJs was having a massive party. I was like, man, that looks fun as hell. Right. So all these states that were known for partying and good shit they're still locked down and there are people going, what the? Wait a minute. Like, time out, guys. We're not listening to you no more. This is bullshit. They've been open with more people in crowded events, not doing these mandates, and nobody's dropping down dead. The jig is up. This is a fucking lie. Because you know why it's a fucking lie? The CDC even just changed the numbers now. Again. So last year, remember when they said that shit came out in like May or June where Gateway Pundit broke the story of saying CDC just revised their numbers and it was only 19,000 people that died? Yeah, that is like real again. And now what they're saying, so this is the other hypocrisy of the CDC. We are not tracking. So if you get, we're tracking the vaccine deaths, but we're now determining, is the deaths from that or is it from something else after getting it, like a heart attack? So the heart attack is what killed you, not the vaccine.
Right, yeah.
So everyone's like, wait a minute. That's mixed messaging, because last year was, it doesn't matter if you fucking got killed in a motorcycle accident. If you have COVID was the cause of death.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So people go, wait a minute. Was this as serious as what everybody was saying?
The mendacity in all this shit is that, you know, you, like Tim says, you have the blue states still trying to fucking impose all this bullshit. You had fucking de Blasio talking about if you get COVID, you're going to get a Happy Meal after your COVID shot. So you get your shot, and then they're going to reward you with fucking greasy fries. You get your shot, you're going to get rewarded with fucking obesity and diabetes. And it's like, what? And this is for health, guys. Follow the science. This is health. Fucking morons, dude. Now, I do want to show you this video.
Not show him me. Eating the cheeseburger, please.
Of how, show no, me I'm a video. Gonna, I'm not going to show you that one. I'm going to show you
that's
Allison.
That's so disturbing.
Allison Camarota. Fucking CNN. I don't know if she's a contributor, anchor, whatever. She chokes up on live TV after the CDC had come out and announced that, you know, this is no longer, you don't only have to wear the masks.
This is all bullshit. Sorry.
Yeah. But look at this reaction, dude. These people are fucking sick, dude. Something's wrong with them. They're not well in the head. Let me play this.
Sanjay, despite all of that, I just want to take a moment to mark this minute. Because I found myself welling up when Dr. Walensky was talking and she said we have an exciting announcement, and I still find myself welling up even right now because, you know, you and I talked every morning, you know, during the past year about how many more Americans were going to die, you know, what was going to happen, were we going to make it to the vaccines, were we all going to survive, what was going to happen. And, you know, 580,000 Americans didn't make it to this day. You know, this day that they say that we can throw these away, that we've all been clinging to. And here we are. I mean, we just didn't know when this day would come, but it feels a little bit like it's over today, doesn't it?
Wow, she is fucking
You're getting me emotional too, Allison.
Fucking
she's
brainwashed.
An actor. Brainwashed.
No, she's an actress. She's a paid actress. That's a shill.
Sure.
Okay. That's a shill. You are putting on a fucking performance for your viewers so that they start crying and they feel something in you, because those are the people that really fucked up. You think she's fucked up in the head? No. She's making her fucking millions, living in her big fucking house, is getting together with all the fucking rich friends, having fucking parties, laughing and going, these people are fucking stupid that they went in their fucking houses and fucking gave up everything because we told them to. This is how fucking sheeple they are. And they go, oh, people are the laughing stock to these people.
I'm gonna show you one more, and this is Rachel Maddow disease.
Maddow. I was gonna ask if you had her.
Rachel Maddow.
She's another fucking.
And I think this solidifies that these people, like Tim says, are trying to sell a narrative for. I don't know, man. Are they paid? Are they paid? Is somebody paying these fucking people? Let me show you this goddamn shit. This one pissed me off because what she says here is evident that this shit was political from the beginning. It was fucking political. Fucking cocksuckers.
It is an amazing thing. I mean, I will just tell you at a personal level, I'm sorry for speaking of all that in such personal terms with Dr. Walensky, but when I was talking to people today about this new guidance and what to ask her, everybody had very personal feelings about it, and I realized I did too in all these questions. Part of it is that I feel like I'm going to have to rewire myself so that when I see somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I don't instantly think you are a threat or you are selfish or you are a COVID denier and you definitely haven't been vaccinated. I mean, we're going to have to rewire the way that we look at each other, because the CDC's guidance, which she just told me we are sure, is that if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask except in very specific circumstances. And so that means as we change that as a country, we are going to look at each other differently and have to unwire our preconceptions about what a mask or a lack of a mask means. President Biden spoke to that a little bit today, asking for people to, President Biden actually and Dr. Fauci both spoke to that today, asking for people to essentially be patient, be compassionate, give people respect for whatever they decide on this front, because
she doesn't know how she's going to react. If she's going to wants to punch a Republican down. This is a fucking mindset that they have to rewire themselves. No, that's what she's at least she's being fucking honest.
Yeah, that's essentially what she said. Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
They're crazy.
It's a fucking make-believe world. Yep.
So because I went to brunch on Sunday with my friend and then met up with our other friends.
What's his name?
And, you know, I had a couple drinks and get the Sprouts. I'm like, fuck, I forgot my man. You know what I mean? I always just put it on just so it's like a symbol for everybody. I never actually wear it, but I just have it around like my lip. And I just didn't have it. I was like, fuck it, I'm not going home. So I walked in there. I'm walking around. I was like the only one. But then just like a lot of the people have said, once somebody sees one person, then all of a sudden I'm starting to see more and more people. Just they said, fuck it, we put it down. Right? Mm-hmm. I got some stares, don't get me wrong. But then I get to the cashier and I was like, oh shit, he's gonna give me a problem. I'm like, I'm gonna tell him either you're gonna have to put all this shit away, or like you're turning away business.
Yeah. So a similar story. Heidi the other day took the girls to Boba. It's like a little tea boba place or whatever. And so I waited in the car. She took four little girls in. None of the girls had masks on. Heidi had her mask on. She gets in there and she's like, screw it. She takes her mask off. And they're in there for, you know, however long it takes to make boba. I'm not even sure how long it takes. But so they're making all this stuff. And these two ladies walk in, a daughter and a mother, and they're wearing their masks, right? And the daughter walks in and she looks at Heidi, kind of shifts her eye back and forth, and she takes her mask off. And then the mom comes out of her mom comes out of the bathroom, looks around and sees that her daughter's not wearing a mask and Heidi's not wearing a mask, and she takes her mask off.
But that's honestly, that's how it is. We live in a state where the mask mandate has been gone for 2 months, right? It's been gone for a couple months. Deaths are down. Texas recorded zero deaths today. You know what I mean? They're like, mm-hmm. This first since the pandemic, so we're done. If I go to the bar and I don't have to wear a mask because they're not required, but then I walk into a supermarket and I have to wear, like, first of all, it's confusing for a lot of people. Like, why? Like, I need one here, not one here. That's just
eating. No, you don't need one either.
No. But what I'm saying is,
well, I'm trying to help out here.
So
you don't need one at all.
So, but now people in the grocery store, like the cashier, he was talking. He's like, you know, he's like, I'm glad we don't have to really enforce this anymore. He's like, we're really lax now. They just said, you know, everything is opening, so whatever. Choice. He's like, and he's, I said, dude, I was like, well, it shouldn't have never been a requirement to begin with. It should have been a choice. He's like, yeah. And he's like, I'm never going to tell somebody they're wrong for wearing one and not. I said, exactly. It's your personal fucking choice. If you want to wear that mask, wear it. I don't give a shit, but I'm not going to tell you to take it off, but you'll be the one telling me that I need to wear it. So I will now tell you to take it off. You know what I mean? Because if you're telling me to wear it, I'm going to tell you not to wear it because you ain't going to drop down dead.
You know, Tim, this puppet show stays on because of fools. And it's true. People are pathetic. A disease with a 99% survival rate, folks.
Well, even Biden's making it worse again, because just the other day, he's in the Rose Garden. All the masks were off. All the press corps now, they don't have to wear masks in the White House and everything because they've been vaxxed. They're trying to send the message. But now this fucker is wearing a mask everywhere again. And they're like, wait a minute. Idiot. You just said yesterday, take your mask off. And now today, when you're around people, you know, him and Tlaib had a big argument on the tarmac in Michigan, you know, and he's wearing his mask again. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, this is bullshit. But the Republicans in Congress now are saying, fuck you to Pelosi. You see that?
What happened?
Yesterday, no. It was like a couple of them yesterday just said, fuck it, we're not wearing a mask. Right. Good. And they took it off and they took the fine. Dude, almost like half the Republicans today, fuck it. And Tom Macy, somebody went to ask him like, sir, you're not wearing it. And he's like, I can't hear you through your mask. Oh, yeah.
Good.
They're like, fuck this shit. We're done.
Yeah.
So exactly. Now there's like a fucking, mutiny in fucking they wanna the house
play,
now.
They want to play these stupid games, whatever Republicans CDC say. Guidelines. I'm sorry. I can't hear you. You know, take the mask off if you want me to answer your questions.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Stop doing interviews for these fucking cocksuckers.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to move
Biting
on
back.
Because we got to close this out. We've been going for 2 hours. I want to show you guys one more thing. I think this video here puts into perspective how fucking lucky we are in the United States. And I'm sorry for the listener, but I had to show you guys. I got to show you guys this. I love this video when I saw it because, again, it puts into perspective how lucky we fucking are to live in the greatest country in the world. And it is the fucking greatest. No other country comes close to this. I'm sorry. Yeah. They just don't. And let me show you this video. It's freaking worth watching this. 1 second.
Imagine going inside a store for the first time in your life that didn't have empty shelves. Well, this is Yoel. He's 36 years old, and he's about to do it right now.
But they all have cell phones in here?
No he visto tanta carne juntos. Todos son fake. No quiero un niño. Y más un niño cubano que no tiene eso. Así que, no sé, me duele.
Yo vi, ¿cómo te sientes?
Fucking explotado.
It's crazy, and I, you know, there's a lot of the immigrant story. There's a lot of people who
hold on. You have to explain. Yeah. Basically, yeah, they followed a Cuban. I'm assuming he's a new citizen or whatever, new to the country. They took him to a Walmart for the first time. He walks in the door, and he sees just
abundance.
A Walmart, right? Abundance of everything you could ever want. And they show him walking through, and they showed him at the first thing they showed him was the onions.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this thing's the size of a baseball. And I mean, if you think about it, I've seen onions that are a lot bigger than baseballs, but apparently this guy never has.
Yeah.
Which implies that they're pretty scarce, if not puny, in Cuba. And then they take him to the meat section, and the meat section, he's just staring at it going, I have never seen this much meat in one place in my entire life. Growing up in, basically implying growing up in Cuba, they don't have this. He picks up a cake, a little strawberry frosted cake, and he holds it up. He's all, I think he said something along the lines of, my daughter would love this because we don't have eggs in Cuba. They can't make cake in Cuba because they don't have eggs. God bless America.
Well, and that's what people do not realize. This is what they're trying to turn America into.
Yeah.
They want to turn it into that because, again, you know who's got eggs in Cuba?
The rich.
There you go. You know who doesn't have eggs in Cuba?
The poor.
Right. Who's not going to have eggs in America?
The poor.
Right. Why? Because of inflation. Because of the fucking bullshit they're pulling. Mm-hmm. Okay? They're killing the supply chain. Wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
People come here to escape that shit and you're trying to bring it. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work until, I'll tell you this, it's not going to work until they start taking away certain things from people. That's when you can fully implement communism in this country. Yep. I'm not going to say those certain things because then you get implied that you're trying, no, I'm not trying to incite nothing, but there's enough people still with a lot of things that will stand up for freedom at some point.
Well, you know,
try taking away.
There is
one behind every tree, right? Isn't that every, what they say?
Every few generations, what is that quote? The tree of liberty has to be watered with the blood of patriots and enemies. Who said that? Was that Thomas Jefferson? And it's true. Every now and then, you got to water that tree of liberty with blood, man. It's true. You forget. We forget. We think that this is the default state of humans. It is not. It is not. The United States is an anomaly in the history of the world. It is unique, even in the time that we live in. But people are, America is not unique. Okay. All right. Keep thinking that. All right. We're going to end it on a happy note. The first one I'm going to show you here is a funny photographer. Look at this photographer, guys. Wedding proposal or a marriage proposal. You got your photographer over there. Keep watching.
I was waiting for it. She can't get up.
Oh, my God.
Keep watching.
She fucking blew it.
Wait a minute. Wait for it. It's still coming. She's going to fall down again. Oh, you made my day, Nelson. This made my day. You know why? You know why this made my day?
Why did it make your day, too?
Because this goes with the article I sent you guys that the airlines are going to start weighing people. before they get on the plane because people are getting too big and they was weighing down the plane.
So your bag has to weigh less than 50 pounds and you have to weigh less than 200?
That's coming next, guys.
All right, that's next one.
Fat people falling
down. Unless you're vaccinated. If you're vaccinated, you get on for free.
Dude, people falling down is still one of my, the best things because they flail. Like, she was like, you gotta get back up.
What's funny is that there's a, I don't know if it's on this one, but no, there's a, she actually posted the video of what she got. She didn't get anything. She just got herself falling. Oh my God. All right. So let me play this one. This is called, I'm going to call this one Lollipop. This is actually funny.
Oh, this is a...
What is it? What is it? What is it?
Turn around.
What is it? What is it? What is it? What is
it? What is it? What is it? She's freaking out. She's gonna hurt herself.
She pulled her pants down.
Oh, she hurt herself.
She's about to go in labor.
She's gonna have that baby right there on the sidewalk.
What is it? What is it?
That's fucking hysterical.
You know what that means? That is the best way to end this show.
She was like,
hey man, you know what? Hey, women talking about how it hurts to be pregnant, she moved mighty fast for a pregnant woman.
Oh, yeah.
It's Craig Peter. Exactly.
Man, she just ran a 40 and 4-4. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
oh man, that's fucking hilarious. I made my fucking day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are gonna leave it there. Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Salty Show. Find us on all the social media platforms. Actually, some of the social media platforms. Oh, dude.
Trump one.
The Trump platform is coming out July 4th.
Oh, really?
Well, what's interesting.
We'll see.
We forgot to talk about the
AOC. He mentioned her. He mentioned Alejandra Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah, she wasn't happy that Biden supported Israel, their right to defend themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought there was more to it than that. All right.
No, that's it.
And FYI, the DA in New York just came out and said that Trump's organization is being looked at for criminal activity.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right. Give us a follow, hit the like button, share some of the content, and we will catch you all next time. Adios.
Bye, guys.
Bye.